So good evening. Welcome to the basic program. I'm very excited that we are embarking on this journey together. It has been a journey how this all has evolved. And it started off with just how are we going to present more intermediate teachings to, well, the next step is the basic program, which means we've got to start thinking a five-year program, and then we've got to start thinking about homework and tests and so on. And the guidelines for the basic program are 70 pages long just to administer it. So it's grown and grown and grown into what it's become now. And hopefully throughout this journey together, you'll be patient as we sort of grow into it, because it is something that we're really trying new, fresh, with the help of Olga Plankin. Is that how you say your name? Who is the basic program administrator at FPMT. So they're kind of guiding us through how to really make this a dynamic, really interactive, really beneficial program. And so this is, as you know, much more of a commitment from our side than some of the other programming where you just show up when you want to. And as you know from your registration, we tried to encourage everyone to see this as a class where it's a mixture of the important steps of learning, discussing, meditating, and to create the merit that you need in order to have realizations, to participate in the class in terms of setting up and taking down the water bowls, driving Geshe Gelug, serving Sangha drinks. We'd like everybody in the class to be participating in those things. And so Shanka has the biggest service role of all, because he's agreed to be the administrator of this module and has been working really hard behind the scenes with me to get this all set up. He's going to be organizing the homework materials. He's kind of your first stop for when you have questions about the kind of logistics of the class. And with that, I'm going to hand the mic over to him.
So first of all, we should really rejoice. You know, that is it working now? Okay. We should really rejoice because you know, it's not often that we have such an incredible opportunity, you know, to get these teachings from a qualified teacher, in-depth teachings, you know. I never expected it to happen. I just kind of approached Geshe-la last November, and I just said, Geshe-la, would you just teach maybe me and a couple of others a tennis class? And so then he said, I'll do it for everyone, right? And we'll just start the basic program again, right? So, you know, it's really amazing how it happened. So I think it's really amazing that we have this opportunity. So I guess, did you already talk about the overall basic program?
No.
No? Okay, so I don't know how many, maybe this is repeating, but I'll just say a few things. So the basic program is an intermediate level program, right? Above Discovering Buddhism, below Master's program. It lasts for about 5 years. There's 7, 8 topics, I think. And it's a rigorous course. It's not like Discovering Buddhism, you know. It's not drop-in. So that's why, you know, that's what Sarah was alluding to about the requirements, because it's important. The reason we have FPMT has the absence requirements, the requirements for doing the quiz, all this, and discussion groups and all this other stuff, is because, you know, first of all, you know, it's important to show Geshe-la that we are committed, right? I mean, it's really important to our teacher. That's the best service we can give our teacher, right? To show that we're committed and we're following his advice and so forth and so on. But also, otherwise, it's kind of distracting for new people to always come and they don't know the material, so you have to kind of rehash. It's hard for Geshe-la. So that's why it's very important to if you start the class, you end the class, and new people then come in after the next class, you know, like that, right? So that's why the absences are really, that's why they're strictly enforced, you know? So we have So I think there are supposed to be 3 absences out of the 10 classes. It was originally going to be 12 to 14 weeks, but because of Geshe-la's schedule, it's going to be 10 classes. And there's 2 meditation days. So the requirements are that we have to come to all the classes, we have to come to the meditation days, which are actually not as many as FPMT normally asks you to do. So there's 2 meditation days. The dates are on the webpage. We'll talk about that in a minute. To do all the homework, to do the quizzes, which I have yet to speak to Geshe-la. I've spoken to him informally, but we haven't made it hard, know exactly what we're doing quite yet. And to take the final exam, take the exam at the end, right, of the module. Now, we don't want to scare you either, right? This is not about. It's about study, trying to climb up a mountain, right? And that's why this class is like this, right? So it's really for us to study to make an effort, and to kind of, because we're Western, it kind of forces us to make an effort. The requirements that are put on us, right? So that's one. So the basic program lasts for 5 years. There are a bunch of different modules. They go through these exams. You go through the classes. You take the exam. At the end of each class, each course, you get if you've met all the requirements, you get signed off on a completion certificate, which is also on the webpage. You can download it, and you can fill it out and get, et cetera. And at the end of 5 years, after you've done all the modules and you've done your 3-month Lamrim retreat, which we won't worry about at the moment, you are then have fully satisfied all the basic program requirements, and you get a diploma. I'm not sure what you get, but you get recognized. You get a certificate, and also you are then qualified to be an FPMT registered teacher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, once you apply, and, right, 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 and recommendations. There's a whole process, yeah, to become, even for a DB teacher. There's a whole process. It's not just so like that. Yes. So actually, I have a list. I should just go through the list. Rejoice! I did that already. Overall picture of BP. I did that already. Requirements, absences, exams, makeups, we talked about that. You have to, even if you miss a class, you have to make up all the quizzes, et cetera. Okay. What did you ask me to say?
The ethical.
So on the web page, on the basic program materials web page that I've sent to everybody, there is two things. One is that there is a kind of 2-page description of the ethical guidelines that we have to. So basically, they're very relatively simple. No cheating. No stealing, lying. Right, the 5 lay vows, basically. Right. So if you know what they are, then that's it. And then there's a card, or there's a little piece of paper that you can actually monitor yourself, right? Which is also on there. So every day you can kind of see, how well did I do? Nobody else is going to look at it, so it's no big deal, right? So you just can do it on the honor system. Is anybody here who is not on the mailing list? You need to be on the mailing list. So because I can't send mail to everybody individually, right? So that's number one. That's the Yahoo group mailing list. Number two, then you know the web page, the kadampacenter.org/basic-program-materials. If you're a member, Kadampa Center member, you get to go in. The how to subscribe to the mailing list is there. All the information regarding the root texts, the quizzes, the homeworks, the dates, all that information is there. And that's basically how I'm going to keep the, that's going to be the repository for the information. So if you need something and it's not there, then you can send me a mail or send a mailing message to the mailing list or to me. And that's how we're going to do it. Geshe-la is going to, at the end of the class, going to give, I spoke to Geshe-la, and he's agreed that at the end of the class, he's going to give us questions that are homework for the next week, that we're supposed to do for the next week, and those will most likely also be the same questions to discuss in discussion groups. Right? He's waiting. Okay. One other thing is the questions will also, the questions are good to do, you should be doing them anyway because that's part of the requirement, but also the questions also will become essentially, they're the ones from which the exam will come from, right? So the questions are a good study guide, if you will, for the exam, right? And the exams at the end of each class is from where the questions come for the final exam, which FPMT actually, they come up with the questions, but usually they're all the same questions that are, you know, that comes from the classes. Have I missed anything? Oh yes, it's on my last of my list. On the web page also, there's a spreadsheet. Okay, it's a link to a spreadsheet. Thank you. A link to a spreadsheet, which is basically all the karma yoga duties. Most importantly, water bowls. Venerable Chokri very kindly volunteered to, no? Someone? Tim, okay, very kindly did the water bowls today. And I think someone, Richard, I think, kindly also signed up for the next one. But we need everybody to basically go in there and please sign up. The dates are there, put your names next to it. It's very easy. But we really need everybody to pitch in. No, it's on the web page. There's a link to a spreadsheet. If you under Karma Yoga, if you look, there it says, please sign up for duties, and then the link. And that's it. Okay. I don't have the other duties yet, but probably we'll have the, you know, for Geshe-la's, you know, for the drinks for the Sangha, and I think that's the main one. Oh right, the audio. That's the other thing that's going to be on there. Right. Okay, I'll make a list and I'll put them on the spreadsheet as well. Okay, thank you. Where does this go?
Shinkam uagi o Om benza bumi ahu Wang jen keski sashi Om benza reke ahu Chi
jari kori oge wensu
Ri gyal pori rasha Lupa polo zambuni Nirbalan che jandra minye Ludan lupa naya danaya jen
Gema jama loma kalama metoma dupoma Nase ma jama nyama dawa rinpoche duo chole namba
jame
Uzola la mi benyo buzo zola mazawa mewa Saje yedo wa gudari
Trinchen sawa dan
Yuva jive amade ala ma da ba na la
Dan dan ki partu yan yun tu dum
tum So he is
asa Mo se sentes tu ma ma lo san tu an do de cham
Jam la la za go la jam
Jesus,
Good evening. What do you think about thunderstorm?
Very auspicious,
right? Auspicious? I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. But are you scared? For Tibetan people, there's a sound of dragon. Dragon could be superstitious, but no, we are not afraid. We are kind of excited to hear, because it's a sound of dragon. So when it's lightning, it's like when the dragon has jewel in both hands, when the dragon lick, then kind of, you know, like, that's maybe Tibetan, we are ignorance. Anyway, so we are not scared. So there is a dragon sound doesn't hit someone. Dragon sound doesn't hit someone to kill. Dragon just makes sound, no? So that's our understanding. Kids, they get excited. We could maybe like hoping to see a dragon, you know? Instead of just running away. Anyway, welcome to the class. So this is very much focusing on learning, kind of like, you know, for education, very much for, you know, to learning, to help or to improve our understanding of emptiness, you know, improve our understanding of emptiness. So the beginner, how the way they think of emptiness, then slowly, you know, like kind of improve the base of knowledge, then idea of understanding of emptiness kind of improve a little bit, knowing all the other views of, you know, emptiness, then the best one. The idea is to understand Pavangika view of emptiness, understanding that, you know, understand that better. So then I think it's important to study the rest of the view, okay? So the commentary in English, the George, which one are we using, the George? Yeah, so didn't you show like one that commentary by George? George.
That's for meditation.
Oh, meditation. Oh, yeah. So what I will do, so I will probably read in Tibetan, then please visualize that you speak perfect Tibetan. So I will use my broken English and I will read in Tibetan and see, then you have a copy of the commentaries. If some word doesn't make sense, then probably have commentary, okay? It's called Truta. Truta means, you know, something that you believe or something. Truta means your view, you know, your view based on then, you know, your own reason. Truta. Analyze, then at the end, then conclusions. Conclusion of your analysis. Conclusion of your analysis. In this case, view, you know, view. Not just view, but, you know, everything, like the foundation, the path, the view, everything. Called Trupta, Trupta, you know, so like, that's the name of the textbook, okay, Trupta. So I memorized all of that when I was, that's not, you know, much, it's only 13 pages. Which is long, there's only 13 pages. I memorized them, now completely finished. Maybe may remember certain words. Used to memorize that, recite, every night recite outside without looking at a book many times, because that's part of the exam. When you exam, just an oral exam, so then you put the book there. The person says, Lama Tang, then you have to finish the rest of the sentence. Then probably go like 2 pages, then we say one sentence, then you need to finish the rest. So like that. Yeah?
Do we have to memorize it?
Yeah, in the class, there's going to be tests. In the class, every person will come to the text, and I will say, here, so then you need to finish the rest. No, so just telling the story. And this text is written by Lama Jetsumba, the Tibetan master. And his textbook, studied in Seretse Monastery, we study all his commentaries based on the 5 major texts. The commentary written by Lama Jetsumba, then we study all of his texts. Drepung, Penchen Sonatrapa, he wrote the commentary, then they study 5 major texts based on that commentary. And there's no Ganden, there are different authors. And Serame, you know, they study Kirup Tendarawa, so they are one of the Lama Jesuma students, you know, wrote commentaries. Then they studied 5 major texts based on that commentary. So in Ganden Monastery, there's 2 schools, Sharje and Changje. So Changje and Seretse, like not all the texts is same, but you know, some of them are same text we study. So then other than that, every monastery study 5 major texts based on their own commentaries. So, you know, this is called the name of the author of this book is Lama Jetsumba. Jetsum Chujijanse. So every Tibetan text, you know, as I mentioned before on Sunday, so it's not to show up, you know, how much you know. It's not to show up how much you know. It's all about, you know, benefiting other sentient beings. Intentions, primary intention of writing a book is to benefit, you know, not to make money, you know, this, because this book has no copyright. Anybody can translate. You know, the author doesn't make any money, so this is free of copyright. Most of the Tibetan books, I think before 1959, is free of copyright. After 1959, so a lot of them now, particularly written in the West, all become copyright. So Tibetan texts begin with homage, you know, homage. Lama Rokpa Nyungo Lama Jin Tama No Chate Los. So first, you know, you there's two reasons. One is, I think, like order from the kings. Because, you know, when you talk about the three basket, then that's like very literally translated, not the apple basket. It's not like three baskets. So anyway, called Denesum. So the king decided, okay, so now it's very, very important to let people know what you're going to talk about, what subject you are going to talk about. So then just looking at the homage, people can figure out what this book is going to talk about. So there's one partially is like the king's order, you know, king's order, not the king's mean Dharma, king's order. So then second, any obstacle that you may face to complete the books, so then, you know, to eliminate that obstacles, then you pay homage to the, you know, enlightened beings, you know. You know. Oh, the first part is that. So, so now actual text is going to explain based on three points. Like, first one is divinations. The second one is divisions. The third one is like explanation of that division, divinations, okay? So situation. Pangboni, so first one is the definition of Buddhism. Not Buddhism, sorry. Definition of Buddhist. How you define that you are Buddhist or you know, somebody not Buddhist? How you define or number? Maybe there could be two different kind of. I'm not sure. Like. Truddhamma means someone like within the Buddhist, someone who talks about Buddhism, who can talk about Buddhism, who can explain that mainly they consider themselves a Buddhist because culturally, a lot of them in Tibet, a lot of them, you know, so I don't think they are Nambasanjo Truddhamma. So this is like, what is it in English? Nambasanjo Truddhamma. It's not just Buddhist, can you say, in English? The divination is like...
It's the definition of person who propounds Buddhist tenets.
Profound means?
Propounds.
Propound means?
Isn't that like explain?
Propound. To explain. Not just explain, well explain.
Yeah, like yeah. Explain with a basis of knowing how to explain.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Oh, that's much better, yeah. Knowing what you are talking about, right? That's good. Can you say that like...
Yeah, so the definition of person who propounds Buddhist tenets is a person propounding tenets who accepts the three jewels to be the final object of refuge and who does not assert any object of refuge other than them.
Mm-hmm. So that's well translated. So... need to discuss? Kunjosum, the three Jews, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Chapne is like the object of refuge, Chapne. Yanta to Kenya is not just accepting that, I guess I'm Buddhist. No, not like that, no. I guess I'm Buddhist. but not knowing really. I guess I'm Buddhist, not like that. Because knowing that you know Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, what is Buddha, what is Dharma, what is Sangha, you know them, and you take refuge in them. It's not just, it's not like, I don't know, I go to Kadamba and I think I'm a Buddhist, I don't know, so maybe not like that. So, that's why he's only saying, become 21st century Buddhist, means Buddhist with knowledge, not just culturally Buddhist, 21st century Buddhist with knowledge. Tamne yang da to kill yang da means how to say
they do not assert any other object of refuge.
Yeah, before that, that's good. So I didn't.
The three jewels to be the final object of refuge.
Final object. The word final is not here, but no, that's in English. That's not really. Just taking refuge into Buddha Dhamma Sangha with knowledge, not just, just taking refuge with knowledge. Okay? So now, Sanje Chöda Gündüde Tabadogana Vijabs. Buddha Dhamma Sangha is the object of refuge for those who seek liberations. For those who seek liberations, the Maitreya Buddha said, Sanje Chöda Gündüde Tabadogana Vijabs. Those who seek liberations. So then make sense. What they teach how to liberate yourself, how to achieve liberation. So then that clearly shows it requires some deeper understanding. Taking refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha, not just simply saying mere word. Saying, I take refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha till I reach enlightenment, no feeling. It just become part of rituals, Just you just say every day, means nothing much. So if you are really seeking liberation, then it means something. That word means something. When I go for refuge in the Buddha Dhamma, then it means something. So now see that's the definition. Then you don't take refuge like that in any other object. When you take refuge under the tree, you don't take like that. But that's just temporary protection. But you don't. Someday I'm going to become like tree. So I should probably pay attention. It's not like that. Different. See? Okay. So now, Buddhist and Buddhist with knowledge. This is more like definition for Buddhist with knowledge. Buddhist who knows the Buddhist view, Buddhist conduct, not just simply through some rituals you take vow, then you think of Buddhist, not probably this Buddhist with knowledge means what is Buddha, what is Dhamma, what is Sangha, and Buddhist without that. There are many in Tibet. All the kids, the children, they are considered as Buddhists, but you ask them, they don't know what is Buddha, what is Dhamma, what is Sangha. So this is the definition of not just Buddhists. Buddhists with knowledge. I'm not sure what else you can say. The person who profound Buddhist view. Person who profound Buddhist view. With refuge, taking refuge with the Dhamma Sangha. That's the definition for that, okay? So that's like now, it has four divisions. I think the first one is called Vibhasika. I think Chadama in Tibetan called Chadama Vibhasika. Second one is probably called Saustantika, Dodeva. Senzamba, then Chitra Matra, or Mind Only School, or Chitra Matra, then Madhyamika. Vibhasika, Sarastantika. So now the term is important, but it's more important thing is meaning, So then Mind Only School, Chitra Matra, Chit is mind. Matra means, it's like just. Or only. Chitra Matra. So this is no cheat. It's a Sanskrit, but it's still used in spoken language day to day. Like most of the Sanskrit language now is kind of like scholarly language. People don't speak. People used to speak Sanskrit all the time. So now only a few scholars speak Sanskrit. So the cheat that's mainly commonly used in Hindi language, Nepali language. So I know a little bit Hindi, a little bit Nepali, English. All of them are broken English, broken Hindi, broken Nepali, probably for broken Tibetan too. So Chetama, that was sent to me. The last one is called Madhyamika school, Madhyamika or Middle Way school, Middle Way. After when Shakyamuni Buddha passed away, after 165 years, around that, after 165 years, after Buddha, when Shakyamuni Buddha passed away, after 165 years, so then, you know, they recited, there's one particular concentration you can achieve. Once you achieve that concentration, if you read something, you will remember forever. You'll never forget. There's no certain things that you can achieve just reading one time. So then you'll remember, you know, then you'll remember forever. So there are many people, when Shakyamuni Buddha is giving teachings, there's no very few distractions, and a lot of them achieve that. So they remember by heart, you know, all the teaching they receive from Buddha, they remember by heart. So there's no printing press, you know, there's no, of course, no like printers, no computers. They use their own computers. So then after 165 years, after when Shakyamuni Buddha passed away, is not here, some other text. So then probably Gurudev, probably they get together, they probably choose one person to recite certain sutras, you know. And that time that four different, probably fully ordained monks, I think, recited sutra in four different languages. Probably I'm saying, you know, somebody is reciting Sanskrit, and somebody only knows Pali, they don't know Sanskrit, and somebody reciting Pali, the person who are in there, they don't know Pali. So there's another language. At that time, there's like four renowned languages. One Sanskrit is the language is they commonly spoke within the communities. You mean as you suggest, then you know, like, Sujaike means like a few people speak, but you know, a lot of people they know then Sanskrit, then Pali. So, imagine like the Sanskrit language is called like divine language. So, imagine like Shazike, it's like then the one is called, if you literally translate, it's called like ghost language. I'm not sure really ghost language. Shazike, imagine Sujaike. So anyway, so then that's how, you know, these four divisions took place. Because, you know, what you are reciting there, you don't understand. It's hard to believe. Are you really reciting Buddha's sutra or you are saying something else? You can get your mind around. So there's no Sanskrit. All then that's how these four divisions happen, okay? Just for the sake of history, probably good to know how these four divisions, you know, took place. And there's one reason, there's not just only one reason, there's one reason, no? Now the Vibhasika systems is going to explain based on definitions, divisions. So then why it called Vibhasika? Now this is a little bit tricky. So this is a Pekar, for example, I'll give you an example. Pekar, pe means, you know, forehead. Kar means white forehead. So sometimes you will name animals, you know, like if you have a yak, a lot of yaks, some of yak has, you know, white forehead, then you call them Pekar. Pekar means P Pe means peko means no forehead, white forehead peka, no. So then you, why you call peka? Then you can explain, oh, his forehead is white. That's why I call white white head peka. So do you have similar like that? Drashi, there's a what it says here. Divination, division, the third one.
Etymology.
Yeah, etymology. Probably that's etymology. Yeah. Why you call? No, why you call? Or then then like so etymology. So divination, division. That's exactly how we study in the monastery. That's how you remember by divination, by divisions. That's how we study. You know, probably unique. The only the unique way of studying Buddhism, you know, the system that I think developed in Tibet, probably coming from India. So, then yujidesu means yul means object, the view, view about when it's come down on object, your view. When it's come down on subject, your view on subject, no? How makes sense? So I'm not sure. You can look at the commentary, probably there's better translations. I'm going to use my broken language. So the view on object and view on subject, no? Damage, then a view on selflessness means emptiness, okay? Then the view on sa, you know, the path, the ground and the path, etc. Okay, so now see, that's how you know, that's how you study the Vipassika school. Vipassika school, when you think about Vipassika school, then it has definitions, divisions, etymology, why it's called. Etymology is going to be in Tibetan, not like Vipassika, it's Chetamawa. Chetamawa, why you call Chetamawa? Then the etymology is based on the Tibetan word, not based on Sanskrit word. So Tangbuni Rangri Midi Chidi Dendu Debe Temeji to Damaya Kaza Chetamaya Tsini. So now it's getting it begins with a complicated, it will end with a complication. Rangri Midi things. I think they are called like self-knower. What do you call? Now the police, can you say the definitions of that Chedama or Vipassika definitions? Can you read that in English? Just one. The definition of Vipassika.
The definition of proponent of the great exposition is a person propounding lesser vehicle, Hinayana, in parentheses, tenets, who does not assert self-knowers, but does assert truly established external objects.
Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Huh? Kind of. Huh?
Sure. It's on page 3 if you've got the book. The definition of proponent of the great exposition is a person propounding lesser vehicle tenets who does not assert self-knowers but does assert truly established external objects.
Yeah.
Self-knower.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So, that's good. So now called Rangrik. The self-knower is literally translation of that word, Tibetan word, Rangrik.
Geshe-la, there's a note here that sometimes it's translated as self-cognizer.
Yeah, self-cognizer or self-knower, Rangrik. Rangrik means Chidendimduva. Rangrik. Number So when you see this, when you see the prayer wheel, the eye consciousness, like when eye consciousness perceive the prayer wheel, that eye consciousness is perceived by some other consciousness. Besides eye consciousness, eye consciousness itself is perceived by some other consciousness. That's called self-knower, rangrik. Okay? Rangrik. So then, who perceives the self-knower itself, then by itself? That's how it got its name, rangrik. The self-knower, every consciousness perceived by another consciousness, that's called self-knower, rangrik. That's called rangrik. If there's no rangrik, eye consciousness cannot see object. Eye consciousness can see object, and of course then later on there will be no memory. In the first place, you know, there's eye consciousness is not capable to see object because it's not perceived by some other consciousness. That's what like mind only school beliefs. You know, mind only school that says you have to have self-knower. You know? So there's like not six consciousness, there's like eight types of consciousness. Mind only school talk about eight types of consciousness. One of them is like self-knower. The another one's called nye, so I'm not sure it will come down in later in here, I'll translate. So there's like roughly explanations, self-knower. So now say, oh, every consciousness has to perceive by some other consciousness, then how's about that consciousness who's perceiving I consciousness itself? Then it's itself perceived by itself. So that's called self-knower. Self-knower. Make sense? Huh? So then probably if you then if you read commentary, probably it will make a little more sense. Huh? That's then the beginning. The second one.
Yeah, the second one.
No, no, the definitions. So make sure the definitions make.
Continuation of definitions. So a person propounding lesser vehicle tenets who does not assert self-knowers but does assert truly established external objects.
External objects, that's called chijin. Chijin. So that's pretty much like everything that external object, they are like. Mind-only school, when you look at the object, there's a tendency, it divides, half of the tendency become subject, and half of the tendency become object. Because of that, the prayer will, mind-only school, the prayer will I see that you don't see. Because this is like, this is my tendency, you know, my tendency divided into two, one appears as an object, one appears as a subject. Therefore, what I see, I'm seeing something good, you don't see. You are seeing, but you have no interest. Huh? So the mind-only school theory is very suitable for beginners, for regular people, you know. So $1 that I'm using, the $1 that I see, you don't see. But it's kind of like, it's crazy, but you know, if you say like that, you are not seeing my $1, people don't believe you, you know. What are you talking about? You are seeing. What they are seeing, like, tendency. We have tendency to everything, you know, happening based on tendency. So the tendency divided, half become subject and half appear an object. So that's why, then there's a lot of debate, you know, like, bowl of water, divine being sees the nectar, then probably the unfortunate being sees like pulse or blood, then human being sees the water, but it's the only object is just bowl of water, that's all. But see different things, something, somebody sees a nectar, I'm not sure what, butter tea, Tibetan sees something delicious, very health, good, I'm not sure how you probably see. Kind of like some of how you say gross or disgusting. So then mind only school say tendency divided into two. One appears as a subject, one appears as an object. So then for them, there's no the chitin, that's what you call that. Or like just appear. It's not like, you know, of all substance drug get together and just appear. No, it's, there's nothing. The external, what do you call external?
Truly established or truly existent.
There are truly, there's a word external. Chitin.
Yeah, external objects. They do not assert truly established external objects.
Yeah, external object, that's the one. Chitin. There's a lot of debate between those schools. So Chittamata, my only school, don't accept that Chittin, no Chittin. Because why? Because tendency divided. So in the Vipassana school, nothing like that. It just appeared there, no? It just appeared there inherently. Oh. So this is just a brief explanation about Chittin, okay, external object. Then, you know, truly exists. Then we talk about that, you know, like, that means just, it's just, you know, like, Pasankika say, imputed by mind. For them, no, it's not just merely imputed by mind. It does exist from its own side. So that's truly existing. Inherent, absolute, no. Absolutely fine. But that's not absolutely fine. No, we say absolutely fine. Mm. How are you? I'm absolutely fine. Mm. But actually, it's not true. Absolutely fine doesn't exist at all. Mm? So that, oh yeah. So that's like absolute inherent. By itself, you know, like that. So now that definitely makes sense, a little bit sense. Rangri Medhiji, Chidhi Dhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdhimdh 45 days he didn't trot. Then the first teaching, the public teaching, that he trot the Saranath, Varanasi. So he tuned three wheels. First wheel, this first two schools. So they follow the first wheel. First wheel, not really the wheel, that is like teaching. Then second teaching probably trot somewhere like near Bodh Gaya, Rajgir, Panchaparamita. And the third, the Buddha tuned three wheels. No? So sometimes they say, when this teaching mudra, sometimes they say people say, oh, they symbolize the first wheel, second wheel, third wheel. No? So the first two systems, two schools of this, no? Vibhasika, Saustantika, they pretty much follow the first wheel. Second wheel, third wheel, second wheel, third wheel, then Madhyamika school, then mind only school, they follow this. They don't follow the first wheel, they follow the second true wheel. That's how Madhyamika view and the mind only school view emerge from based on those two wheels, okay? Kolo Parva, or middle wheel, the last wheel, that's what we call. Just explain. Hinayana. So, Papa said better translation, Hinayana. Sometimes there's a small vehicle, so people, you know, in Burma, in Sri Lanka, they don't appreciate their tram. They said, we are not small. We are bigger than what? We are bigger than who's saying small. We are bigger than that. So, Mahayana, Hinayana is a better term, I think, rather than great scope and small scope. No? If the word hurts people, we should not use. No reason. No? So point is like just to benefit sentient beings. That's all why we are studying. That's all. In the end, just to benefit sentient beings. Nothing more, nothing less. Just to benefit. Then, Rani Mirichidin, Dindu Chidin, that's external object. External object. Not based on your tendency, it's already there. It's not just already there, but it's there. It's absolutely there. It's there from its own side. So that's what they believe. That's what they believe. Rani Midi Chidin. So so now the divisions. Divisions. Kaja Chidama, Niyoga, Yu Chidama, Sunja, Kaja Chidama, Vaja. I don't think these are quite important. We can just read this, it's not that important too. Division, what is it? Divisions?
There are three divisions.
Mm.
The first, proponents of the Great Exposition from Kashmir. Second is proponents of the Great Exposition from the Western Region. And three is proponents of the Great Exposition from the Central Region.
One is from Kashmir?
Yeah, Kashmir,
mm.
Western Region, and Central Region.
Central Region, the Western Region. I'm not sure about their translation. Like, Western Region?
Yeah, Western Region and Central Region.
That means probably refers to Americans. The Western Region refers to Americans. The people from America, probably. People from America. Call it.
Are you calling us small?
Oh, I'm small doesn't exist in America at all. Everything has to be big. In America, symbols doesn't exist. Symbols are disappearing. Kashmir, so. Kache, you know, Kache like, is like Muslim. Kache means Muslim. Literally means Muslim. Kache Shalama. So, probably, I'm not sure, Kashmir, or could be Kashmir, but that area, there's majority of the people follows Islam. So then, from that region, you know, so then, group of people, they follow Buddha's teaching. So they are named after the area, you know, name of the area. So it's pretty common in Tibet, you know, so a person named after area, Lama Tsongkhapa, Tsong means that, Lama Tsongkhapa, where he was born, that area grow a lot of onions. Tsong means onion. So then Lama Tsongkhapa named after that, so he was named after his birthplace, Tsong. Tsongkha, that's his name, the name of the birthplace, and the Tsongkhapa, and it's called Tsongkhapa. So that Chadamawache, Nyiopa means Nyiopa, Nyi means Nima, Nima means refers to sun, Nima means sun. Probably the group, in India, there's all diverse belief exists. Many thousands of years ago, you know, so there's people when they come to India, they bring their own belief. There's so many, you know, different belief systems still now exist quite peacefully side by side in India. So, Wok means under the sun. Means the group of people who worship sun. So they are under the sun, Nyiwok. So then probably that area, but a group of people who also follow Buddha's teaching called Nyiwoba. That's my understanding. So Nyiwoba. So if we are going to say central, then that is from America or maybe from Europe. Nyiwoba. So that's my way of explaining this one, but does not mean this is incorrect. No, so probably people did a lot of research. So particularly when it's come down, place and name, yeah, so you are much better. You do a lot of research, you know. In the monastery, we don't bother to ask what is Kache, why you call Kache. So first of all, if all during the teaching you are quiet, you know, you listen to whatever teacher said. Nobody really raised questions, you know. So if the teacher asks any questions, no, there's no questions. Probably not good, but you know. The last one is good. Central. Yu means, you know, central. The grew up, not everybody who lives in the center. Center here. Center based on Dharma, Buddha Dharma, then Buddha is the center of the universe. Buddha is the center of the universe. Based on Dharma, then Buddha is the center of the universe. The center in terms of Dharma, then Buddha Gaya is considered as the center of the universe. Now the etymology, so now, interesting to hear.
Etymology. Why are they called proponents of particulars?
Oh.
They are called such because they propound tenets through following Vasumitra's great exposition of particulars. Or, alternatively, they are called proponents of particulars because they propound the three times to be particulars of substances. And then in parentheses they say, like instances of substances.
Pretty much these are the word-by-word translations. You know, doesn't kid the meaning. So, of course, this is not easy to translate because you have to study, otherwise it's not easy. So, your view is pretty much, based on your theory or your view is pretty much based on one text is called Cheta Shedje Chimbo. Now, this like this all this translates word by word, but probably.
Great detailed explanation.
So now etymology, what we call Vibhasika. So now you don't hear this about Vibhasika. So now this etymology is based on Tibetan word called Chetamawa. Chetamawa. So now then you say why you call Chetamawa? So then you say Cheta Shizu Chimbo, the name of the text. The view is based on that. Now this text, the name of the text has word Cheta. Cheta Shizu Chimbo. So now that school called Chetamawa. So then it makes sense. No? So don't worry about etymology. That's not that important. I think it's not that important. So
Geshe-la, maybe I'll try reading from the second text we're using and see if it's maybe a better translation. Mm. This is the one by Venerable Sangye Kadro.
Yeah, I'm worried it's not going to be better. So I'm not worried because this etymology is pretty much based on Tibetan word. So no matter how you translate, if the word Chetamawa doesn't come, so then it doesn't make sense. So anyway, so the Cheta Shizu Chimbo, there's the text, okay? Cheta Shizu Chimbo. Cheta, when you listen to the text, it's particular. That doesn't make sense. Particular, yeah, specific, very specific. Particular, that's correct translation of the word Cheta, that's correct translation. It doesn't mean like that, but that's a word, that's what the word is. Cheta Shizu Chimbo. That's the name of the text, Cheta Shizu Chimbo. So then the particular school name is called Chetamawa. So now you see the word Cheta is there. Name of the school is called Chetamawa. 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 The word Cheta is there. Why it's called Chetamawa? So then they follow the text called Cheta Shizu Chimbo. There's a text. They follow. Their view is based on that. They study that text. So that pretty much their view is based on whatever that comes down to object, subject, sightlessness, ground, path. It's pretty much based on what the text explains. So that's why they call Chodashita Shimba. So, see, you remember the psychological Seyung, Jungian, in Switzerland they say Seyung or something, Jungian or something like that. So the people who follow that, they say, I'm young students. So because not, young something. They say, so they're just German, so I'm not sure how to.
But maybe it's C.
Yeah, talks about dreams.
Yeah.
Because I do have quite a bit of psychology friend in Switzerland, they follow that Jung, also they study dreams. Sometimes drive you crazy. drive you really crazy, so instead of freeing you from craziness, they make you crazy. Sometimes really almost got crazy there. anyway, so you have anything like that, it's like because they say I'm mine only school. So I am mine only school, not in school. Like say, when I first met George, back in monastery, there's one African American in my class. That's the first African American who became monk in the world, first one. So then somehow they met in Dharamsala, because that in Dharamsala, you know, there's a lot of Westerners go there to study Tibetan medicine, all kind of thing. So then somehow they met. So then when George first came to monastery, I remember, vividly remember, like in one puja, that my friend, the African-American monk, he's bringing George. And I said, hello. So then the George told me that he's like my only school follower, Sensamba. He said, I'm not sure how you say. In Tibetan, you say, I'm Sensamba. It's very like, you know, we study my only school view, but nobody says I am Sensamba, I'm like Madhyamaka, I'm Vasika, I'm South Pandika. It's very strange. I look at his face, he's very serious. He said, I am Sensamba. I said, okay. I'm not sure what that is. So then because that's like, you know, you are saying that because you follow the view of my own school, you say that. So same this etymology is like, you know, why you call that Chidamava? Because those group of people, their view is based on that text called Cheta Shichimbo. So they follow them, so that's why they call Chidamava. Whatever that's been said about object, subject, ground, path, selflessness in that text, so that's their view. So they're called Chidamava, okay? Make sense? Hmm? So there's not going to be any quiz. There's not going to be any quiz. Don't worry. So it's not Chidamava. Etymology is not that important. Chichi Chidamava, unless you're planning to go back to monastery to debate with monks, so then it's quite important. Otherwise, it's not that important. Chidashinishimichidam Chidamava, Tedar Jebaham, Yana Tusum Zeji Chidamava Chidamashijibishis. The second one, probably in English, makes sense. Tusum, three times, past, present, future. Tusum, generally speaking, the minute something happened, minute something exists, something becomes existent, is disintegrating. It's not like, oh, fast, you know, come to alive. No, so then stay there a little while, unchanged, then still also change. It's not like that. No. Like this group of people, they say, okay, first thing appears. No, then they stay there a little while, then still also disintegrate, no? Jinajism. But it happens like minute it arises, minute disintegrate. Why? Because whatever that make them arise or exist, and that very cause disintegrate them. No, it's not like they have to look some other cause to disintegrate them. The very cause they produce object, that very cause make them disintegrate. Make sense? Huh? So that's why, you know, they are saying, oh, the present is exist, past is exist, present is exist. It's like sequentially, oh, that's past, now it's present, now it's future. In the Madhyamika Pasankika view, it's like, you know, the present is already, like, you know, it's all like that. You can't really, you can talk about what, based on one object, or past, present, future, but generally speaking, there's no real present or past or like future, you know, so there's no real. But you can talk about based on some object, past, present, future, but then generally speaking, makes sense, little. So I'll be happy if that makes little sense, and be happy. So I'm not hoping it will make a whole lot of sense. So eventually it will make sense. More you read, probably it will make more sense. They're not just, you know, it's not exist, but they are some kind of substance. Present is substance, therefore it has to be exist. Past is some kind of substance. No, it's not just existing. You know, there are certain things that exist, but they are not, how to say, substance means like atoms. Atom or maybe something, so particle or something like that. The second one is now more going The second part of explanation about etymology is more going directly to their view, their belief. You know, first one is just, you know, like that's what I'm saying. The second one is more going in deep, going that etymology is going quite deep into their view. So now we finish Dajada, Yujidizo. So now it's on, come down object. So then, you know, through discussion, then you can discuss. Then if the question comes up, then I will help explain. Okay. So, how are we doing? Is it getting hot?
No?
Okay. Everybody's comfortable? No thunderstorm?
So I'm reading now from
object.
Yeah, from Sangye Khadro's translation. The definition of a thing is that which is able to perform a function. Thing, existent, and knowable object are mutually inclusive.
So now it's important, you know, so not to get confused, because when you are starting in the monastery, when you are starting Vipassika system, then they say you are wearing Vipassika hat. So that means now you are thinking like Vipassika, you know. That's the way to start Vipassika school. Otherwise, oh, this doesn't make sense, you know. So it's not, you know, like. So then when you study all of them, then make sure that you don't wear all the hat together. Then you'll get confused, you know. So when you finish studying Vipassika school, time to take out the hat of Vipassika. Then put South Antica hat, then think like that. So then later on, then you know, otherwise, particularly when you debate the monastery, you know, all kind of, sometimes it's called a kind of mix up, then you kind of tease, you are still wearing the bicycle hat. So you, all you need to say like that, you know, you don't need to explain. I'm still wearing the bicycle hat. Person will know right away what you're talking about. So now here, you know,
The definition of a thing is that which is able to perform a function.
Things, you know, here. So what is the definition of thing? What is the definition of thing? When people say thing, I do hear a lot of through the conversation. This thing, that thing, you know, but they don't call name, but you know what they are talking about. And there are things to figure it out. What's the definition of things?
I have the dictionary definition.
No. Is it in the book?
No.
Okay.
A material object without life or consciousness.
Material object. How is about sky? Sky? Is it a material object? Or how is about space? Here. Is it a material object? Space. How is about impermanent? How is about year, month, week, day, hour? Are they a material object? So, how is about person? Person? Then how is our consciousness? So this is pretty much, you know, this definition is pretty much like ngubo means, generally means, now, as I mentioned, you need to think about Vipassika point of view. You can't just think about Pasankhya point of view, then it will screw up everything. You can't think about that. You have to think about Vipassika point of view. Oh, now this, you know, like ngubo, when you look at the synonym, it doesn't mean material object, but it doesn't mean material object. So like a definition, like this, how is it, definition?
That which is able to perform a function.
Then they are synonym, ngubo.
Things.
That things existing.
And
knowledge.
Knowable object.
Knowable object.
Yeah.
Knowable object. No, knowable object is knowledge. Knowledge? What is knowledge? Education? something knowable. Something, if it is knowable, then somebody will know. If it's not knowable, nobody will know. Ko shija means knowable.
Yeah, knowable object.
Yeah, knowable object. If they know a knowable object, ko shija, that's pretty much also literal translation, but with meaning. You know, by existence. Yeah. So now in the Vivasika, school, everything, well, this definition, what's the name? The definitions of what?
That which is able to perform a function.
That's the definition of that?
Yeah.
Definition of?
Thing.
So definition of this thing called ngubo. Ngubo. Ngubo means thing. So I guess this thing, ngubo. So now this is the definition of that. So usually, ngubo, when you finish studying all of them, ngubo means only something that produced by causal conditions. That's thing. Other than that, you don't call everything thing, you know, thing. So now, in this case, now thing means everything that exists. The impermanent, emptiness, space, sky, these are all, now things. So then, each one of them has to perform what?
Yeah, able to perform a function.
Able to perform a function. So that's their definition of thing. But that definition change. Its definition get more precise. South America school, mine own school, Madhyamika school, it get better and better. No more argument. Finish. Last, no? So there, now that's the definition of things. But the definition of things doesn't remain the same. It change. Change the schools, okay? So, and this is just in the Vivasika school. So the synonym, so then, yeah, tabi ngubo, this like term, very strange term, tabi ngubo, permanent thing. This, the name, ngubo means, ngubo, ultimately, ngubo means functioning thing. It's produced by causal condition. Not only that, that leaves out sky, all the permanent is excluded. This is like functioning things. So now, tabi ngubo means like functioning, permanent, something like that. Doesn't make sense. So, delayana, so now the divisions?
Yeah, two divisions of things, permanent things and impermanent things.
Permanent things, impermanent things. Okay, so now. See, the ngubo in Tibetan, the things are not a permanent thing. Does this contradict in your ear? This is English language. Permanent thing, impermanent thing?
No.
Tabi ngubo, ngubo. Does it sound kind of strange? Or permanent thing, impermanent thing? Sounds good?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. Then it sounds good, then it's good. So, no need to explain. Permanent things. Permanent thing? What is permanent thing?
With their head on?
Yeah, with their head on. No, without their head on. Yeah. 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 So that's what I'm asking. Not with their head. Not their head on. Please check out their head, maybe a little more, because temporarily they think. That it sounds strange, permanent thing, impermanent thing. Thing, I'm not sure. Like it does sound strange in Tibetan word, tabe ngubo. Ngubo, this word ngubo means something that's disintegrated moment by moment. They say, permanent disintegrated. This doesn't make no sense.
With the Vaivashika hat
on,
You mentioned that the Tibetan term means it's produced from causes. It's produced, compounded, right? But this doesn't say anything about that. So are you still talking about the Vaivashika view, or are you talking about the more precise?
Maybe I'm trying to make you more confused. Sorry. So now probably we will not go there. So now the divisions?
Yeah, two divisions, permanent things.
Permanent and impermanent things. Permanent, impermanent things. So let's stay with that. Then, Pangoni, Dumashin, Nanga, Sudango, Dumashin, that first, the permanent things are
non compounded space.
Dumashin, Dumashin, Namka, difference between space and sky. Difference between space and sky. Huh? What's the difference? Is this the sky? Is this the sky? Is in the sky?
Sky has a lot of particles in it.
Space is part, is absence of an absence of the particle. So this is now more domestic in Namgwa. But the space is not produced by anything, it's just it's there all the time, right? It's there all the time.
Right?
Huh?
But I think, Richard, maybe you're talking about outer space?
No.
So one of the
physics is kind of strange to call sky, but it is sky. That's only sky that we know. So when you go up there, when you high up in the airplane, like the 7,000 miles, where's sky? No. Huh? Oh. Am I in the sky now?
Isn't sky another form of space? We just label it sky because from an Earth perspective, one conventional truth, we just see up there.
Yeah, so that's, so I think it's kind of like, sounds strange, but the reality, this is, I think, sky too. Sky in the glass. It's kind of, when you say it, it kind of sounds strange, kind of crazy, but that's truth, no? No, there's no more, there's not much sky, so filled with water, a little bit of sky there. So when, so there's the principle, so it doesn't matter, so anyway, so too much in that way. Then the second one is called?
Analytical cessations.
This is good, this is translating word by word, you know, whoever doing good job. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't carry the meanings. So, Dumachik and Namga. So, the first one, can you repeat Chugila, please, again?
Analytical cessations?
No, the first one.
The one before that, non-compounded space.
Yeah, non-compounded. Every space is non-compounded. Non-compounded? Not produced? But it's in the word, but it's not necessary. No, so, not necessary to say, but it's just space. Susutango, then there's a cessation.
Yeah.
Cessation, Susutango.
Yeah.
So in lower school there are conventional truth, in the high school there are ultimate truth, you know, so the cessation, you know. Cessations cause So there is Tamijikova, and then another one.
Non analytical cessations? So analytical and non-analytical cessations.
Tango, that's the same as within the fourth noble truth, the last noble truth, path, truth of path, the path of cessation, that's the last one. So Tamijinko was not... So, then the second one. So I will get back to that, like non-compounded
space?
But the second
one. Non-analytical cessation.
Not analytical cessation. Analytical cessation, no. It's like, don't need to worry about the analytical, not analytical. That's just word translation, word by word. The basic is like cessation and non-cessations. This truth needs to remember. Cessation, non-cessation. So, let me go. Then, so I will get back next Wednesday, next Friday or Wednesday, not sure. So now we'll get back to that Tamilikova. So then the second one now.
So then those are
the
examples of permanent things.
Yeah, those are the example of permanent things.
Yeah.
So now second one is example of impermanent things. Huh?
Yeah, and they list product, created object, and impermanent.
Good, this is a very good translation. The functioning things has, again, can you continue, please read?
Product, created object, and impermanent.
Yeah, so that's good, so there's nothing to talk about. So everybody knows. Again, please.
Product, created object.
No, sorry, Shukla. I mean, like, after that.
The next. Yeah. Okay,
sorry.
Moving on, okay.
Yeah, moving on.
Okay. Another way of dividing things is into conventional truth and ultimate truth.
Oh, the money. So this is quite important to know. Okay, this to the view from the Vivasika point of view, how their perceptions, how they define conventional truth and ultimate truth. The definition of conventional truth.
The definition of a conventional truth is a phenomena which is such that if it were broken or mentally separated into parts, the mind apprehending that option would cease.
Does that make sense? It's quite clear, huh? It makes sense? Yeah, this is called glass. That's conventional truth. If you break them, if you lose control, falls on the ground, it pieces. No, there's no glass, right? So your idea of glass is gone, because there's nothing to clinging on. It's gone. Chumbam, if somebody breaks, or you breaks, or just falls down, the bottom line is like when it breaks, chumbam, the first one, can you repeat the second, please? Definition.
Yeah.
Definition.
A phenomenon which is such that if it were broken or mentally separated into parts.
Yeah, broken. That everybody understands when it's broke. And there's no, you see, the glass. No, there's no more glass. No, you don't see glass. That idea is gone. No. So, this first one refers to gross object. Gross. Not gross like disgusting. Gross. Gross. Subtle and gross object. Chumbam. So now then, mentally separating, if you lose the perception of prayer, perception of glass, so then that proves that things is conventional truth. See, it's totally different than like Madhyamaka school. That's how they define conventional truth. That's conventional truth. That's how they define conventional truth. So maybe that's exactly what we don't call conventional ultimate, this like neutral. That's exactly what's happening in our day life. You know? So that's our understanding of conventional truth is like that, but it's like much deeper than that.
A vase and a woolen cloth. Woolen cloth.
No. The first one is called definition. The second one is called division.
Oh.
Division?
Yeah, division is number two.
Oh, division, yeah. Pumba, vase?
Yeah, vase.
Oh.
It says a vase or a woolen cloth.
Yeah, number. So then probably you do have some, I think there you do have some. This is actually this. If you're wondering what's number, this is number. So this is number. This is just another type of fabric, thick fabric, quite famous in Tibet because it's very cold. very cold, you know, people use to make a lot of ropes out of that number. Only like someone who has money. So this is like no thread. Put it together, then become fabric. If you separate thread,
mm-hmm.
so then, you know, there'll be no fabric. So that's what it means. So the, you can read it fast. Chugula, please.
A vase and a woolen cloth are examples because if a vase is broken with a hammer, the mind apprehending it ceases. And if a woolen cloth is separated into its individual threads, the mind apprehending it ceases.
That's quite easy. That's the easiest one here. Yeah. So that the second one, ultimate definition of ultimate truth.
The definition of an ultimate truth is a phenomena which is such that if it were broken or mentally separated into parts, the mind apprehending that object would not cease.
Mm-hmm. So now, detail, particle, very tiny, tiny particle, detail, choki chame. You can't even say, oh, this is now here, you can say it's east, east, shall, north, shall, west, shall, shall, east, shall, north, north, west, chang, south. So how you say? How you? We say east, north, west, south. How you say?
North, south, west, east.
Correct, Tadi. That's interesting. So I find out that quite interesting. Like we say, shar lo nub chang. East shar lo north. North, west, south. So you say, how you like north, south. Any reason, any particular reason? Oh, probably it's like west of time. So,
teachers and parents.
One goes that way, another one goes this way.
And it matches the way someone from the Catholic faith goes. North, south, east, west. It's a motion they make. I heard that it came from that, but I don't know if that's true.
So ours is based on where the sun comes up. Ours is based on where the sun comes up, based on scientists. ours is based on scientists. So where sun rise. Where sun rise from sun, rise from the east, shadrach. Time check means?
So, if we're going to have time for discussion.
Your teaching session. So I don't want to stop you, but...
Yeah. So it's better to stop, otherwise I'll go...
But before you go, Geshe-la, you should give us some questions for homework
so,
and discussion.
Maybe this... definition about true truth. So then about also self-knower, and so definition of true truth is not that difficult. Self-knower and another one called chitin. There's the definition of this Vipassika school, the last part called chitin, external object. External object? That one. Okay, four.
Could you repeat that again? Because the definition of the two truths, that's two of them. External object. And then what was the other one?
Said no one. So much as you can, then I'm not going to quiz you.
And these are wearing our...
Yeah. There's a fast page. Is it going to be in the quiz? So I'll be very, very easy on quiz. So I suffer a lot in the monastery when I take my quiz. So I'm not going to be easy on quiz. So then enjoy your discussion. So 바게 신경 게 와서 나도 와 보나 간다 제발 좀 너도 나와 때문에 뭐를 So please study with the intention to teach at the center, future, you know, so then it's much better you teach, you speak perfect, fluent English, much easier, sake of, you know, to benefiting others, okay?
So regarding the discussion groups, what Geshe-la suggested we do is get into small groups. It's going to be a modified Tibetan debating style. So you get into a group of, let's say, five, and there's two people sit in the middle, and the people or one person sits in the middle, whichever you prefer, and then the other people ask questions. Like, you know, definition of self-knower, what did you understand, so forth and so on. And then you rotate, right? So one person is not on the spot the entire time. So, you know, for maybe 10 minutes or whatever, one person is in the middle, you ask questions, and then somebody else goes in the middle like that, right? Or two people in the middle. Geshe-la said maybe two people if somebody's feeling scared about just being the one guy in the middle, right? Like that. It's up to you. But the goal is it only has to do with the topic. No, you know, nothing about personal experiences and so forth and so on. Big discussions about, you know, our lives. Only about the topic and what we've discussed and what Geshe-la has asked us to discuss. And did you want to say something? No? Yeah. So like that. And we're going to try that and tell us or tell me or Sarah if it's working or not. And we can try to work with Geshe-la and see if there's a better way to do it for us, you know. The whole subject and the four questions, right? Anything that needs clarification about the subject that he covered, and specifically, certainly, about the questions that he gave. Right? Okay. It's open everything. The homeworks? Yeah, discussion is open everything.
I would add that if your group is struggling where to start, definitions are a real good way to start. So define self-knower, and that's a good way to start your questions to try and get your kind of little debate going. The other thing I wanted to mention was we were kind of slow getting the mic out into the audience. Even though we're not streaming, everybody's, I'm sure, is going to miss a class at one point or another. And so if the questions and comments aren't getting recorded, then when you listen back because you've missed the class, you won't hear it, and it's really going to make it harder for you to catch on to what's going. So even though it slows down the discussion a little bit, I think for all of our benefits, we'll want to use the mic. So let's make sure to just help each other pass it around, too. Tim's doing a great job, but sometimes he can't fly across the room, and it's helpful to just pass the mic.